You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Josh Furlong from KSL. How are you doing today, Josh?
I'm doing well.
Good. I mean, I could do for some better weather, but, you know, it is a pretty good time to be a Utah fan and following this Utah team. To get started off the back, one of the biggest stories, in my opinion, and with other youth enthusiasts I've seen, is the offense. After having, kind of three straight games of not very good performances and you know, hearing after those games that Kyle Whittingham feels they could have improved their, play calling, it, whether it's throwing the ball more or getting it to Booker. What do you think is going on with the offense in general, and what do you think they could do to improve it?
You know, I think the offense, truthfully, I think the offense is fine. I mean, they're looking at Booker as being the main aspect of that. Kyle Whittingham talks about how he wants about 225 yards passing, and Wilson's pretty much getting there. I mean, it's not perfect by any means. They're not the Baylors of the world that are going to put 60 points up on teams. But I think, for what their game style is, they're doing a really well job at getting the ball thrown around. They're distributing it to several receivers. I think a lot of it, though, it comes down to maybe some of the receivers getting some separation. I think that's a lot of a big problem. I mean, you're seeing Travis Wilson roll out on occasion, and he really has nowhere to go. So either he has to throw it away or he has to make a plan for himself. And that's kind of where I see a lot of that breakdown happening. I don't think it's necessarily because Travis can't throw the ball. I mean, he's had his best efficiency numbers, of his entire career this year. He's throwing the ball 66%. I mean, everything is going well for him. It's just a matter of being able to, capitalize at that moment. So, a lot of the times on TV, we're not able to see the full route structures that these guys are running. And I think a lot of the breakdown comes in that, just simply getting locked up and you're not able to get that separation that's going to give you that opportunity without maybe without throwing it into triple coverage or whatever it may be.
I mean, is that just a combination of wide receiver skill and talent versus wide receiver coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, I think, with this offense, it is a little disheartening in some respects that you're not really seeing growth in some respects. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that they're in a bad situation, but I just don't see a lot of these players growing over the season. I mean, Kenneth Scott, obviously, he's been with the program for 6 years, so he understands exactly what Utah requires of him, and he's been one of their most productive receivers out there. But you're not seeing a lot of these other guys, maybe the Delshon McClellans or the Kenrick Youngs of the world, that are coming out there and finding an opportunity to excel. They've got a lot of speed. They need that separation on the offense, but they're not able to kind of get these guys worked into the offense, and maybe some of that is just simply not knowing the offense very well, being young in the system. But then you look at somebody like a Britton Covey, who comes in his freshman year and he's starting at the slot receiver spot. So I think that there's maybe something said to the talent, maybe there's something said to the coaching. It's just not, for whatever reason, getting down or progressing throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's been interesting watch. I mean, you talk about freshman quarterbacks, and the other freshman that everyone has been talking about is Chase Hansen, and specifically he's moved to safety, but now he's, out for the season. What's going on with the safety spot, and who do you think is going to be back into that starting spot, starting lineup?
Yeah, I think Kevin Carter will be back in that safety spot, and I don't necessarily see that as a downgrade by any means. I think Whittingham was kind of toying around with whether he wanted to utilize Kevin as a linebacker. I mean, his body size fits more of the linebacker model. He needs to kind of lose a little bit of weight to stay in that safety range, and I think that's a little hard for Kevin to be able to play that realm and be able to be quick enough. Whereas the linebacker, he can kind of line up and do some other things that maybe he doesn't need that speed that would be required. But I do see him filling that spot. I mean, like I said, I don't think they're going to be downgraded there. I just think Chase Hansen fit that role a little bit better, kind of was able to occupy that spot and had a little more speed than Tevin does. You know, I don't believe there's an injury there. I haven't heard of an injury. Nobody's said anything. So really, I mean, you're going back to your beginning of the season starting lineup there with Tevin. And I mean, you've got Jason Thompson behind him. So it's just really kind of start from scratch at the beginning of the season. You just lose a dynamic, person that was in there for three weeks.
You there, Josh?
Yeah.
You cut out when you were talking about having that dynamic player for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that Chase Hansen, he was a dynamic player for 3 weeks, but I don't think you necessarily lose anything. Obviously, we saw what Chase could do in his game last week against Washington. But you're kind of starting from scratch in the realm of just getting Tevin Carter back into the rotation and making sure that he's able to fit that safety role well.
Okay. No, I think I haven't seen too much discussion about fans being worried about the defense with losing Chase Hansen, but it's just an interesting injury considering, kind of what you were saying with Brent Covey. Here's a freshman who's coming in and immediately having an impact. I mean, it just doesn't seem like this team has a ton of freshmen that have come in and made impacts. And, I mean, it might just be because it's a senior-laden team that, there's just not that playing time. Would you agree with me there?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, I think that's what's so hard for freshmen, especially the ones that are going to be recruited at Utah. You're going to find those kids that just have an impact right from the beginning. I mean, you look at Lo Lokalele last year. I mean, he came in and he was practically starting from game one. I mean, it's a very small minority that are able to just have an instant impact. They're the instant playmakers, the Chase Hansons, the Britton Coveys, the Lolo Talele. These type of players just don't come along that often. And so I think it's not necessarily a bad thing for Utah in the sense that they don't have a lot of these freshmen that are able to step in and do well. It's just more of, you've got to have time. And truthfully, you've got positions that are really well covered. I mean, most positions in this offense, defense, and even special teams are covered. You don't necessarily need to have these guys be a big impact player or be able to do things. Obviously, you'd like to see more maybe out of the secondary and maybe make sure that you've got a little more depth behind, the Dominique Hatfields and the Reggie Porters of the world. But truthfully, Utah is seemingly set in where they need to be. It's just a matter of being able to maximize those talents and then just being able to maximize some of those guys behind them and show that progress.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's just focus to this upcoming game against Arizona. What would you say are going to be the three keys to that game?
Honestly, I think one of the biggest factors in this game is Utah's defense stopping the run. That's obviously been a big mindset on the team this year, and they're actually, one of the better teams out there to stop the run. But every single year, Arizona has really made it difficult on Utah's defense just because they rush so well. Arizona is actually the best team in the conference this year in rushing. They've just put up incredible numbers. They're leading running back. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he averages 9 yards per carry. I mean, that's just incredible. The simple fact that he's averaging a first down every time he touches the ball. Utah has to find a way to be able to stop that if they want to have any control of this game, because anything else is going to be thrown out the window if they can't control that game, because, if the defense is getting beat, it's hard to see the offense necessarily stepping up and being able to go into a shootout fashion. It's not that they can't. I just see it being much harder for them to do that. But if that gets taken care of, I really don't see Utah having too much of a problem. I see them being able to, throw the ball well. Arizona's defense has moments where they're okay, but they're injured a lot. And, they're able to kind of break away from separation, maybe get Booker involved a little bit. The offense should be able to do well, but ultimately it comes down to whether Utah's defense can stop their run game.
Okay, I mean, that is an amazing stat, 9 yards per carry. I mean, is that what has been going on with Arizona this year, in your opinion? I mean, with the rough games they've had, is that, you know, there are a couple teams that have just been able to snuff that run and get a victory against them?
You know, I'd have to think that's generally the thing. I mean, I haven't watched every game of theirs. I've tuned into a bunch of them, but it seems like they have the playmakers there. It's a matter of being able to maximize it. I mean, I understand injuries are going to be one thing, and every team's kind of bogged down with those, but it just seems like if a team is able to game well against them in the run, they're going to do very well against Arizona, because their defense isn't one of the greatest in the Pac-12. It's not even one of the greatest in the nation. And so you can do good things against their defense. It's just a matter of being able to stop what they do. You know, if you're able to limit them, maybe even if it's, you know, limiting to 5 yards per carry or whatever, I think that is a win right there. And just making sure that Utah continues to do well in the red zone, be able to make sure that they find a way to just, you know, even if it's to settle for a field goal, you know, let them run all over the field, wear them out, but at the same time, just let them settle for a field goal, because that's going to help you win that game. Other than that, you know, I mean, they're going to put scores up really quickly. And with how injured Utah has been, you know, this is a chance for Utah to really struggle if they can't hone in on it early.
Okay, I mean, right now the Utes are favored by 5. What would you venture to give us a prediction?
You know, that's a tough one. If Utah's going to win this game, I see it easily over 5 points. It could very well be another close game. But even in all of these close games that Utah's played, you know, they're still coming away with double digit wins. If Utah's able to do fairly well in everything that it needs to do, you know, stopping the run and then just having the offense do what it needs to do, I really see them winning closer to around 14-point score. You know, maybe I'm crazy on this. Maybe I'm putting a little too much stock in there. But I don't see Arizona just being able to put up a ton of points on Utah. You know, this defense would really have to break down. They'd really have to just give up a lot for Utah to really keep this game close. So, yeah, I would take the over on the 5 points. I think it's favorable for them, but I also necessarily wouldn't, you know, be shocked if it was a close game and Utah ends up winning by 3 points.
Okay, well, I mean, luckily we are not members of the staff or players on the team, so we can look a little bit further ahead. It's looking like the UCLA game could be deciding the South. How do you feel about the Utes going forward in the season and even their chances of making it to the Pac-12 and, who knows, even the college football playoff?
You know, that UCLA game is going to be a very interesting game. I think it's favorable that they get them at home. You know, you've got the home crowd that's able to kind of boost the production there. And I think it really just depends on what kind of team UCLA brings in. You know, we've seen Josh Rosen do very, very good things as a quarterback. But at the same time, he's a freshman who's vulnerable in the interception realm. You know, and if you know, the Gianni Pauls of the world are able to just scout him, I mean, they're going to have a heyday against Josh Rosen. You know, but on the flip side, they could absolutely get torched by his ability to throw. He has such a great pocket presence, great opportunity to kind of get that ball where he needs to go. And I think that's where it's going to come down to. I think UCLA has a lot of great players, you know, great playmakers. It's just a matter of being able to contain Rosen. And if that's the case, yeah, the Pac-12 South is yours. I mean, unless Utah decides to go blow it again at Colorado when the Pac-12 championship is on the line. But I don't necessarily see that happening. You know, I see Utah doing well, but it's still, in my mind, it's really difficult to see what they're going to bring. Because as of late, UCLA has done well, but there's moments where Rosen looks like a freshman. So, you know, if that happens, I think Utah, it has, you know, that straight shot for the Pac-12 championship. You know, that Stanford game would be a really difficult game. And win or lose, I just don't know if Utah has enough in the books to be able to make it to a college football playoff. And I think, you know, they'll get a favorable bowl, maybe a New Year's Six. But I just have a hard time seeing them getting in there, you know, even beating Stanford, you know, because you've got some of these other teams that that people may look a little more favorable to them and looks to be more of a team that can hang with maybe some of these other teams that are being talked about as a top four team in the country.
Okay, I mean, everyone laughs at the whole idea of Colorado and Utah being a rivalry, but if let's just say Utah wins out, plays Colorado, and then Colorado beats them again, and Utah had a chance to make it to the Pac-12 title game, does it become a rivalry all of a sudden?
You know, I mean, I'm sure it could. I think it's just more, I think it would be more of Utah beating themselves and being upset at themselves for just, you know, laying an egg, so to speak. I don't know if that Colorado rivalry is really anything of merit yet. I think to really make it of value, Colorado needs to be a better team to be able to make sure that, you know, there is some back and forth. You've got to be able to not have a lopsided affair. I mean, truthfully, you know, over the years, yeah, BYU owned up Utah and it was still considered a rivalry, but I think people still kind of looked at it as a situation where everybody knew BYU was going to win, so it wasn't really much of anything. It wasn't until, you know, maybe the 2000s or so where BYU and Utah really took off, at least with maybe more of, you know, our generation, in the sense of everybody really anticipating the game. There's a lot of vitriol, a lot of people that are just upset about it. You know, and until that happens with Colorado, until Colorado really can compete with Utah on a yearly basis and maybe have some games where, you know, it comes down to the wire, I just don't see it. I think, you know, if Utah were to lose, it would be more a matter of them just, you know, a letdown on their end instead of Colorado beating them.
Okay. I got one question about the rivalry with BYU. Do you think playing a game next year will actually help maybe the animosity and the I just feel like the level of hatred towards the rivals has gotten worse without the Utah-BYU actually playing each other.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to that. I think the simple fact that you can't, you know, use a scoreboard to dictate who is the better team that year really kind of, you know, hurts things. But I also think that the simple fact that Utah is in the Pac-12 and, you know, BYU is an independent, really looking at it saying they want to be in a conference, I think that's where a lot of that divide has come. I think, you know, the vitriol and the, you know, just the ultimate competitiveness of playing is going to be there next year, but I don't necessarily see that as kind of lessening the rivalry smack talk or whatever that may be. I honestly see it as being Utah's being in the Pac-12 doing well and, you know, BYU really, I don't want to say they're struggling for relevance because they're definitely a relevant team, but struggling for that relevance in the sense of, you know, it's much harder for them to obtain their goals of going to a college football playoffs or a New Year's Six because they have to play nearly perfect to be able to get there. Whereas Utah, you know, they can lose a game or two and still have the potential to be there and still have a special season. So until BYU gets into a Power 5 conference, I think the animosity towards the two teams, especially on the BYU's end, is going to be really high because there's just it's almost a jealousy factor. You know, BYU was great forever and Utah wasn't, and now Utah is, and BYU is still doing well, but they just don't have the same accolades that Utah can claim.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, this is the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. We got one more question. What is your favorite place to hit up for lunch in Salt Lake?
I talked to a lot of people about this, but it's Chunga's. It's a Mexican restaurant in Salt Lake on 9th West. It's a fantastic Mexican restaurant. So, if you see me there, I mean, I'm probably there at least once a week, so it's a fantastic place.
All right, well, I will put that on the list as places to try. I'm on, I work on North Temple myself, so I can't be too far off from Northwest or 9th West, so I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
All right, well, it was good talking to you, Josh, and we'll talk to you again as the youth continue to play some football and basketball season starting up here shortly.
Awesome, thank you.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.